Don't let someone steal your great idea. Register a domain name now and put your idea online. GoDaddy is offering onenewortransfer.com for the low price of $2.95. Whether you're building your dream business or starting a website for fun, visit GoDaddy.com and enter the code KREN295, KREN295 at checkout. It's go time. Some limitations apply. See website for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Jim Krenn No Restrictions Podcast. We are worldwide. We are nationwide on the Sideshow Network. The boys are in studio. They're at Talent Network Inc. Terry Jones, John Evans, Mike Wysocki. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Krenn.
Jim Krenn No Restrictions on the Sideshow Network. Brought to you by the Prime Core Group. Go to primecoregroup.com for all your corporate collection needs. We're at the Talent Network Studios. Of course, Dave Settlemyer and Josh Folio, Frank Merger, Corey Gale, Wayne Weil. On mic, we have Terry Jones, Mike Wysocki, John Evans, myself. We want to welcome our intern, Ryan, the intern. Ryan, welcome to the show, buddy.
Yay, he's welcome,
been,
Ryan,
he's
the
been
intern.
Intern.
We got right clap for him.
Yeah, a couple weeks. The funniest thing was at the wine bar, one-year anniversary show, Ryan was there, and I dropped my papers at one point, and he ran up and picked them and handed them to me. And I didn't know you were an intern. I thought you were some nice guy who helped me out. And he did like three. He said, "You need anything to drink or something?" He got me papers. Got me, and I'm like, that is the nicest audience member. My God, yeah, this guy's buying me drinks. He's handing my. I drop my papers. Because 2 seconds, he's picking them up. I'm like, my God, this is a nice guy. So, and I mentioned it to Josh.
Yeah, I remember you texted me.
And I think I mentioned it to Terry.
You texted me.
I go, nice guy. The audience, but how about that nice guy picked up the papers? That was one of the nicest things right in the middle of my act show. And they go, oh, it's our intern, Ryan. I'm like, oh, see, I didn't get to
Yo,
meet him
but
yet.
The funniest is he tried to stop you at one point. Like, you rushed over to grab the papers out of the way, and he tried to stop you. Like, he reached for you, and then he went.
Oh, yeah, first I thought maybe it was some guy trying to grab the scripts. And just take them.
He's like, wait,
then he gave them to me. Well, welcome, Ryan. Welcome to the show, man. Glad to have you.
Ryan the intern.
What school you go to?
Strayer right now. University.
Very nice. What are you studying?
Marketing.
This is the place to learn marketing.
Yeah.
Right here, huh?
Yeah.
Bachelor of Science, IUP, marketing. Mm-hmm.
I've
9 years, but
I've
I did it.
I've tweeted 112 times in a year. Is that bad? Is that? Am I utilizing social media properly?
It's good marketing. It's good marketing, John. It is.
I need to ramp that up.
Hey, before we start the show, I just want to say if anyone out there gets a chance to check out The Moth, download The Moth. I was featured this week on the podcast, YouTube, on their YouTube channel. I'm sorry, The Moth YouTube channel. The Moth is the esteemed storytelling, organization. They're all over the country, out of New York City. It's really, really cool, to see. I was looking through the thing, Malcolm Gladwell, Salman Rushdie, and me. Right? two authors and a guy who read two books in 6 years. But that's, yeah, so if you get a chance, definitely download that. We're talking a little bit off the air, Mayweather. As of this taping, Mayweather just won his fight last night against Medea. Was it Tyler Perry in drag? Who did he beat?
Amadeus.
Amadeus. We're saying he's worth so much money. He's more entertaining to watch on 24/7 than the fights. Like when they do the behind the scenes. Well, now they called something else on Showtime. He signed some big deal with Showtime to do the same thing he was doing on HBO. The 6-7 episodes before the fight, they show him and they show the opponent. Yeah. In his lifestyle, and he became my idol about 2 years ago, 3 years ago when he started HBO. He's doing an interview, and 50 Cent was on a Segway behind him, no reason, never acknowledged him. That's one of my favorite things. There he is, there's 50 Cent. I'm like, Jesus, is that 50 Cent?
I read that he lives in inside a golf course outside of Las Vegas or something, some mansion that's
huge.
Within a country club. Or
yes,
something.
Crazy, crazy mansion. They show his lifestyle, and he's always got $500,000 in his pocket. And he bets all the time. He's always gambling. He's always watching TV and checking out the game. He lost $14 million on on the Broncos.
Oh my God.
I heard.
Yeah.
$14 million.
Yes.
$14 million.
That's absurd.
Yeah.
It's just absurd.
He made 32 for this last fight.
But he's, still.
Yeah, he makes clothing lines and everything. Yeah, I know, really. We're talking about guys who go broke. But I don't know if this guy could go, but he's got so much money coming in the next couple of years if he fights Pacquiao. Like, you know, we're saying off the air, Terry, he'll get $100 million
fight,
man.
Highest paid fight of all time.
Yeah, I think so, huh? He has
to
fight
him. It
will
be the highest paid fight of all time.
He's got to fight him. That's his Joe Frazier.
Unless Mike Tyson decided to train and come back, and just because he's Mike Tyson and he fought Mayweather,
as a welterweight,
it would be the highest paid
fight.
Yeah,
other than that, it's going to have
time.
To be that.
Yes, it would.
It's funny how they show the, you know, leading up to the fight, they always give you that little angle where you think, well, maybe this guy could beat him. Did you see any of this guy? Did you see any of this thing I'm talking about, this documentary?
Yeah, like they have the 24/7 on
these guys. Yeah, have you seen on this dude, Madea?
Yeah, and you always think that they have a chance.
Oh, they have this guy, and I fall for it every time.
Every time.
You know, he's wherever, in Argentina, Mexico. I have no idea where he's from. He's probably from, like, Orlando, but they just say he's from there, whatever.
They're playing a Spanish version of Eye of the Tiger while he's showing the clip.
This guy looking like an ant. He's, like, tough, and, you know, he just lives on refried beans and, you know, bullets or something he eats. One of those dudes, you know? He doesn't sleep in a bed, sleeps in a hole. You know, like, really, they made him look so, like, tough, you know?
Yeah, they did.
I thought this guy might win, and he beat him.
That's what I hate about those 24/7s, because you really do believe that these people have a chance, and they have no chance in hell.
No.
Like, you know what I mean? It makes you really believe in this person, kind of like, it makes you feel like you're watching Rocky. You know, remember they did that with Cotto a few years ago when he fought Cotto?
Yes.
And Cotto was the man at his time. And he got his ass whooped. They did the same thing with De La Hoya. He got his ass whooped. And
I thought De La Hoya gave him the best fight, I think, Tara, out of all the people that fought him.
You think so?
I thought he gave him a decent fight.
I think he was decent for about three rounds, and then after that, he just got his ass whooped.
He made the mistake of trying to, he should have just boxed.
Yeah, he should have boxed instead of
trying to get tough. Yeah. Dressing in drag, I know. What's the deal with him dressing in drag?
I don't know.
There's like photos of him.
I forget about that.
I think that's a weird story about that.
I think that's the problem with boxing, is that it's up for interpretation. You know, you can say that. No, it is, because when Sugar Ray Leonard beat Hagler, you know, he threw more punches, but the punches didn't mean as much as what Hagler's punches meant. And I think Hagler won that fight. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're saying that, oh, he beat Marvin Hagler, but I don't think he really did. So it is left up for, you know.
It is up for interpretation. Because when I saw the fight, I saw it on closed circuit. That's how long it was at the arena. And I thought Leonard won a fight. I thought he stole the rounds. It was like, I think Hagler, if he fought him 10 times, he'd beat Ray Leonard 9. But that night, that fight, if you watch the tape on ESPN Classics, watch the last 30 seconds of every round.
He flurries.
Mm-hmm. He may not even hit him or hurt him.
Yeah.
But he, psychologically, the judges, I could see. Let's just say I could see how the judges tipped it his way. He looks like he's stealing toward the end of the round. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Why Hagler got pissed off about that and quit fighting. Went to Italy to become an actor after that.
He did.
Yes.
I got a marvelous Hagler autograph picture.
He was the man. He was the Mike Tyson of the middleweights before Tyson. Mm-hmm. He was just destroying people. And when he fought Leonard was not really at the top of his game, kind of at the end, had the torn retina and all that stuff. And he just put it together for that fight, and that was that.
You know,
good.
Oh, I was just going to say, because of that fight, they changed the rules. They end up changing boxing rules on the punches, as far as there being, you know, just the punches that you get the points on, like the flurries, and then the power punches. I remember them changing something in boxing.
Maybe on the connections or something, connecting it to get a point or something.
Yeah, it had something to do with, like, how the punches were, because Hagler gave the stronger punches, but Sugar Ray just got the taps to get the points.
And he was getting points on his taps. And like, so you said, John, guys were pissed off about that. Because, you know, he wasn't really the best fight I ever saw, closed circuit. And this, like I said, this is before pay-per-view days, guys. I'm a little older. And you had to go to the arena. And they would do closed circuit. You'd just cable it in live. And it was a sold-out Civic Arena. And I think I paid, like, probably $75 for the ticket, which was a lot of money then. Yeah, and it was Hagler Hearns. Ooh. It was done in three rounds, but it was the most entertaining three rounds I have ever seen. It was amazing.
Yeah, that is the greatest fight of all time, probably.
It might have been. Yeah, it was most entertaining, I'll tell you that.
Oh, jeez.
I couldn't believe it.
Slugfest.
It was crazy. There's no defense. Just two guys wailing at each other for three rounds.
Well, here's the problem with modern boxing is that, You know, I'd rather Google, fight at Waffle House on yeah. YouTube than watch a professional fight.
That's real.
Well, these days, a heavyweight fight anyway are kind of just everybody's just hugging each other.
I can see two women fight over syrup. at a Denny's in Oakland.
Millie versus Maggie, three rounds.
Those are syrup. Those are great vids. I had to get away from that. I had to get away from Googling stuff like guy gets tased and fight fight in Walmart parking lot, because you'll just spend an hour and a half.
Yeah, it is good, isn't it? Yeah,
it's not good for your. It's probably bad karma on some level.
Yeah, probably. I can watch Waffle House fights.
Like, you feel like
night.
You're rubbernecking society in a way.
maybe a little bit of Schadenfreude.
Yeah, I'd say more than a little. Yeah.
I like watching people get tasered. That's my shit.
Is that your favorite thing?
Oh man, I was doing bad shit. Like, I was watching junkies nod off, like Googling junkies nod off and watching videos of junkies nod off.
Videos,
that's like the
video
most
channel of junkies
junkies nod off. And there was one song.
Watch
it,
this.
It was like from
boring.
Oh no, but it's great because they had.
It might be good.
They put Sesame Street in the background and it was like, I like to sleep. And it just had them like nodding off over Ernie singing. And then I like watching people get tased. That's my favorite thing.
They got a website now you can go to. It's got yoga poses, and they got a picture of like a woman in a yoga pose. And then somebody send in a pose of someone drunk in the same pose. Like, they have this one with the split and this yoga thing. And then they had this woman in her pajamas in a bathroom with the same split with their heads against the toilet. Like, she's in the same position as the yoga lady. But they're drunk. Yeah, it's pretty good stuff. It's funny. Hey, we have to talk about Donald Sterling, the Clippers. What an asshole. The things that he said, we all know, we all read the transcript and everything, with his girlfriend. And it's bizarre. He has a wife. Like, 2 days later, holy fuck, he's married, too.
His side chick got him in trouble.
His side chick got him in trouble with the most bizarre, racist comments. And then they banned him for life. And he came out and said, he said he didn't want to leave. He's not going to leave. He's going to fight them. Which is he has to leave. They have to get rid of this guy. There's no, that is on tape.
Yeah, it's a completely a business decision. It's not like a free speech thing or the government stepping in. It's like, you've harmed that product. They're not going to make any money from the Clippers anymore. It's a damaged product. It wasn't like they're doing this great thing. It's a completely based on
money. And finding a player that will want to play for the Clippers, if he's the owner.
They're not going to sell any Clippers merchandise.
Just watch
they're going to have empty seats during the playoffs, so we just got to cut this guy loose.
Yeah, there's no tolerance for what he said. No tolerance for racism.
Did you see his side piece the other day wearing that like welder's mask, the protector from? I think she probably wore that when she slept with him so she didn't have to look at old balls. I think that's
visor?
Yeah, that's the worst thing facing the gold digger.
Dealing with
old balls.
Did you listen to Did you listen to the conversation?
I listened to the tape, the whole tape.
I did too. Did you guys all listen to it?
I listened to the extended version.
What? I don't know. Did you guys think? I don't know why the funniest thing in the tape was. I'm sitting there listening. I'm like, this guy's such an asshole the whole time. Then all of a sudden, he started talking about Larry Bird. I just thought that was the funniest thing.
Yeah. Larry Bird's name came up. That's right.
Yeah, well, she said, would you rather I be with Larry Bird or something like that? And they're talking like 2 minutes later. He goes, why'd you have to bring up Larry Bird? I'm like, what the fuck is this guy?
Well, that makes you believe that maybe she was like trying to set him up for that, just so she could get that on tape. I mean, she was definitely fishing for him to.
I'm sure she knew he was a racist asshole.
Oh, I mean, it probably wouldn't take much to get him to say those things.
Oh no, not at all. He's an 81-year-old white man, like old white guy.
He's
81.
Who's a registered Republican and a billionaire?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't surprise me at all.
Did you see the tape Snoop Dogg did on him?
Yeah, Snoop was like,
"You racist motherfucker, whatever."
Fuck you, Donald Sterling, you motherfucker, redneck country racist piece of shit, motherfucker.
It's not that bad a penalty either. If you get a lifetime ban when you're 81 years old, it's kind of like getting kicked out of school in May of your senior year. I mean, you pretty much got everything you're going to get out of it.
That's true. And then, a month later, he has cancer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we got a little bit of a Paterno factor.
I love this. I love the cancer because it's like, yo, man, cancer makes them racist. Like, these cancer cells are so racist You know, he has those KK cancer cells.
I think he wants a sympathy.
They're making him say,
he put that up in sympathy,
he knows he does, man. I thought it was funny. Anything. I honestly laughed at the tape because
he's an asshole. It's kind of, it is so bizarre. I mean, it's like you picture him going to like Starbucks and a barista yells, "Here's your black coffee, Mr. Don't yell it in public. That's private.
I need more cream in my coffee.
That's right.
God damn it, I don't like my coffee dark."
I mean, he's sitting, Magic Johnson can't come to the game.
Oh, yeah.
This is not an unprecedented thing. Do you remember Marge Schott, the owner of the Reds, called Dave Parker and Eric Davis her million-dollar N-words publicly?
Yeah.
And she got banned for...
They kicked her out.
They kicked her out of the league for a year or 2 years.
Yeah, I think it was.
She never recovered.
She never recovered, never came back.
So this guy can't recover from this.
Well, there's...
I think she came back and went after the Jews, but she continued to be very racist throughout her life.
One of the most intelligent things that I heard about this, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar wrote a really great piece about how, this rush to be outraged thing is like, it's well documented that this guy had a court case against him where he actually discriminated from renting apartments to black people and Latinos, and he didn't want them to, and somebody sued him and found out that yes, he was discriminated. So we already knew that this was happening, that you had an owner in the NBA that was a proven racist. Convicted racist. You hear
this. Look this up to see if this is true. I heard this. He got like a man of the year or like award from the NAACP.
It got taken back.
But he did get it though, I'm saying.
He did get
that's
it.
That's what I'm saying.
He got it.
That's how much he hid
the racist. Did you see the motherfucker that was going to give him an award? Did you see the dude that was going to give him an award? He looked like Jamie Foxx with a fucking Jerry curl. Like he still got a Jerry curl in 2014. Like there was nothing.
I was stunned at that. He got the award. I think it was this last year or something.
Robert Griffin the third.
Leon, this motherfucking Leon. What was his name? It was like Leon Jenkins or some shit. It was like President Leon Jenkins of the NAACP giving an award, and he had a Jerry curl and it was just dripping in the picture. With like
old school,
then he had to. There's nothing you could do.
Eric
Dickerson, you have to.
Style.
Oh, it was Tito Jackson.
Sterling has to go.
He does.
No way. I mean, because like you said, it's not like he can't. He scream freedom of speech or any bullshit because that's like you said, it's a company.
Yeah, it's a company.
It's a business.
And lousy owner. They've been horrible for 30-something years. Until the last couple of years when they lucked out on Blake Griffin and somehow they got like Chris Paul and some players. But
did they play the Game 7 yet? They were in a Game 7.
I think they won.
They won.
Yeah,
they did win. Golden State lost.
That'd be funny if they won the NBA title.
I know. It's like,
he can't go to the parade.
I think the players did a little bit. Of a protest, they like wore their jerseys inside out or something.
Bullshit ass protest. Yeah. So. The funniest thing I heard was that they were saying he only hates half of Blake Griffin. That was hilarious. But
that's a good line.
I mean, if this was the slave trade, Donald Sterling is the worst slave owner of all time.
He should feel good
His
though
team
because
sucks. He needs to get better slaves.
He should feel good though because Alex Jones and Donald Trump came to his defense. So
that's good.
Yeah. You're
he
in good company.
Donald
you're
on your side.
Company. Yeah.
The Donalds stick together.
What is there to defend?
It's hilarious. Donald Trump was saying that, he was blaming the woman for recording him without him knowing.
For
in
revealing
the privacy.
That he's an asshole.
Yeah. For proving to the world what a piece of garbage this man is.
I can't believe the guy covered it up. If that's in his heart, it is, obviously.
It's been a long time,
PR and stuff there. Like I said, to get the, NAACP award and all that stuff.
That's just money, NAACP award. That Jerry Crow.
Well, they said he
was...
donated a lot to hospitals, and there's all these awards.
Tax write-offs.
Dozens of awards.
Tax write-offs. That's all it is.
But he's a billionaire, I guess.
Yeah, he bought this land in L.A. and said he was going to build like a big homeless shelter for it like 6 years ago, and then nothing's been built on it. And then he took out ads in the paper to congratulate himself for doing it.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's his thing.
And he's been racist forever, too.
Like, white homeless only.
Raleigh Massimino turned down the job for the Clippers because he met the owner.
And Massimino
in like 84. they wanted Massimino to be the coach of the Clippers.
He goes, "Oh, you're going to
have to meet." Well, he said, "Yeah, you're going to have to meet the owner." And the owner, he meets him at the airport, and he's with a couple of bimbos, just looking like a slime ball, and said, "You know, how do you think you can manage my N-words?" And then Massimino went home and called him up, said, "There's no way I'm working for that guy." And then, actually, good thing Massimino, you know, turned down the money, because he was coaching at Villanova at the early time, not making a lot of money or anything, turned out an NBA job, not working for that guy. Then the next year, Massimino wound up winning the national title with Villanova.
Hmm.
Wow. It's crazy.
It is.
It's really wild. The thing that made me laugh about it, too, was there was a point in the conversation where he was talking to her, and she brought up, like, the Holocaust, and he was talking about black Jews being looked down upon by white Jews, and they're treated really bad, and you know, over in that side of the world. And the part that got me was she was saying, "Well, you know, you can change as a person." And he said, "No, it's bigger than me. It's a culture. I can't change the culture." It was as if, like, you kind of feel bad for how stupid this dude is, because you're like, okay, he's so damn ignorant that he doesn't realize that he can change, but he's afraid to be, like, he wants to be around other douchebags. And because those other douchebags are racist, he wants to fit in. It's like the kid that's like, everyone's done it.
How about,
like,
what he said? Funny scene. He goes, he says, you know, "Black people, you can fuck them. Don't bring them to the game."
Don't bring them to the game.
Yeah, don't bring them to the game. Fuck them. Oh, she said, "Matt Kemp is whiter than me."
No, you called it by Instagram, too, did you?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Don't use the Instagram.
Don't put any pictures of black people and you on Instagram. She was like, "Well, Matt Kemp is lighter than Magic Johnson. I thought it was okay."
You know what's funny? When she goes, "Well, I'm like, I think she's half Latino and half black or something." Yeah. And he paused for a second. I think he learned that for the first time on the phone call. His face was like, "What?"
I've been banging part of a Negro. The other thing that I did, you know what? I have a conspiracy theory. And my conspiracy theory is that this sad chick was set up by Magic Johnson. And Magic Johnson set her to record him so that he could buy the Clippers.
I thought
that's a good conspiracy.
First thing I thought, I thought Magic should buy it and then ban him from the game. That'd be great. Sterling can't come in.
Oh man, I think because he was talking about buying the Clippers.
He wants to buy an NBA team. We bought the Dodgers as part of that. I don't know if he can buy. I don't know if he can buy. Can you buy?
I think you can because it's two separate sports.
Can, yeah, but you have to.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
If he bought the Clippers.
Oh, I think he wants to, because in the interview he said he needs to sell them.
That's what he said
in the interview.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. This guy, you know, he doesn't deserve $500 million either.
No, even Michael Jordan came out, and Michael Jordan doesn't say shit about
anything. Everybody commented, huh?
Yeah.
What did Michael? I didn't see your Michael's.
Michael Jordan was just saying he was upset, and it just hurts black people all over the country. He said he wasn't just worried about the athletes, but just in general
for this coming out and
showing everything. Mm-hmm. So,
and then he said, "Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to make sure these people in Asia are making 12 cents to make my shoes
to sell for my black people to wait in line and make me money. I want y'all to wait in line and whoop each other's asses for World Star Hip Hop and make me money."
Know. What are you going to do? I know we get shocked, but, you know, there's I guess, you know, that reminder, there's evil in the world. There's no shock there, I guess, but that, so.
81 years old. I say it all the time on the show. There's some people you just should not be surprised that they're racist.
Right. Yeah, 81, he probably should have shut it down a couple years ago.
That motherfucker was old enough to be a part of the anti-segregation shit, like, you know what I mean?
Although,
like,
although, you know who surprised me that he's racist?
You know, for he Georgia. I'm fighting for General Lee.
Yeah, really. He was in Lee's
God
battalion.
Damn it, I'm still alive, and Negroes are free.
I was surprised that Dog the Bounty Hunter was racist.
Really?
I wasn't surprised Paul Dean, obviously.
Really?
Paul Dean.
Yeah, that was
Bradley Cooper.
Dog the Bounty Hunter is...
Dog?
Dog
said some racist things on a phone call, right?
Yeah,
but I mean, he's.
I remember he was on Larry King.
Really?
If we knew two things about Dog, and we knew two things about Dog, is he always talked about God, and hey, if you don't have a cigarette, he'll give you one.
Unless it's menthol.
Did you see him on CNN or some dog? He's talking about it, and he starts crying, and he pledges. This is like his big thing to atone. He pledges that when he dies, there's some famous African-American cemetery somewhere in New York or somewhere. And he names it. He pledges he wants to get buried there. That's his big thing.
Wow.
That was his atonement on Larry King.
It's like,
yeah.
That makes me happy.
He said it like three times. Like, what the fuck are you saying, man?
Man.
Wow.
Oh, God. unbelievable. Huh?
It's crazy.
Hey, we have to mention also about the alleged Bigfoot sighting in Bradford, PA this past week. Ooh. It was on Ralph Ainotti interviewed the dude and everything on Channel 2. Huh? So you know it's real. Mm. Did you hear about this?
Yeah. No.
The guy was driving his car and he was coming back from, how do we say this? It's a state park somewhere in Bradford. Kinzua, K-I-N-Z-U-A.
Named for the Japanese settlers in Bradford.
Yes, the big Pennsylvania Kinzu settlement. But he was, he met John Stoneman. He's driving home from the state park, whatever festival, and his girl, they're going slow around the bend, and he sees not one, not two, but three Bigfoot. And he takes a picture. And it's a good shot as far as Bigfoot goes. It's like they're glamour shots. And they're kind of, they don't show the face. You just see like three, like, big hairy matted hair. It could be like three anorexic bears. I don't know, but it's like he's just they're just like kind of standing there huddling, look like three Bigfoot playing poker or something like that. They're kind of like huddling together. But you got to see the picture. Look, it's and he's like, ah, I don't
know. Found a picture, bro.
Look at the picture, guys.
Three. It could be three people in the ghillie suits.
Look up Bradford man takes picture of Bigfoot.
Convincing, Mike.
It was convincing.
Are you sold?
Yes.
Not yet.
I mean, I don't know if it's Bigfoot, but he did see. He took a picture. Legit. He got something on camera.
Legitimate. It does look like.
Let me see that.
Yeah, but it could be anything. It could be anything, right?
Wow.
There was like some Bigfoot festival around there. Not
how does
he
look?
Was near there.
All we have to go is that grainy footage from 1968, so we don't know.
I think it was some guys or something put the costume on and went out in the woods. Possible.
Well, you know, they make those ghillie suits, which are like heavily camouflaged suits that you can just like plop down and it looks like
yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I mean, it could be that from that far away.
And spotting three of them, usually only people spot one at a time.
Yeah, I know. Oh, this is all over the world now, this whole deal. There's like these Bigfoot clubs are going nuts on him, and all, you know, Bigfoot, some big huge Bigfoot society thing, and they're just going nuts on these. But what do you guys, let's go around. What do you think, Wayne, real or not? No.
I don't know. Looks
Ryan,
pretty real.
The intern?
Ryan the intern.
No. Core? Bigfoot? No.
Corey's just laughing.
Josh?
He's just laughing at
Josh?
It.
Josh? No. Mike?
I don't think so.
No. Terry?
Yeah.
I'm going with Terry. Yes.
God, I want to believe so bad.
John,
it's hard to tell with that picture, but I'll say yeah.
Why not?
I love a good...
Why? Just get it going, right? Keep it going.
Well, this on the heels of someone saying that they spotted the Loch Ness Monster on Google Maps.
That was real.
Was that real?
Yeah, I believe that. I believe that one.
We talked about it.
Somebody's... Or it was a Google Earth or something. Google Earth. If you go down and you can see this thing, look like a sea creature.
Why are big feet so... See, I noticed I said
big
more
feet.
Than one.
Big feet. Feet.
It's big foot, but there's three, which makes it big feet. And why are they so camera shy? I don't know.
Because
they all had their backs turned. You know, why couldn't you get a little picture to face?
So much bad press from the movie Harry and the Hendersons.
I know.
They're ashamed. They're embarrassed.
We're the official podcast of the Bigfoot Society.
We pretty
so
much
we should
are.
Be the ones
Tom
talking
Powell
about it today.
Agreed
at least
that.
The Loch Ness Monster, you know where he is. You know where he's going to be. He's
right.
In that one certain
yeah.
area.
Which is
Bigfoot
Loch Ness.
Could be. You know,
in the news story, Ralph Ainotti talking to him on the phone. Like, he didn't even drive out to meet the dude. He's actually showed Ralph on a phone in his desk. Oh, you know, John, what did you see out there? I don't know. The guy just said, well, I don't know if I believe in it, but it was something. That's all he said. So he who knows? He may make a lot of money off this. He told his girlfriend when he took the pieces, you know, these pictures are going to blow up. It's going to be wild. And it is. It's crazy, man.
That means that he's like, yo, baby, I'm a star, and I'm going to get me a side chick like Donald Sterling.
Yeah, he's going to headline.
And I'm going to be rich, and I'm going to snort coke off of Hooker's breast.
Did you think Sterling's girl's hot? I did not think she's that hot.
A little
it's
too much
oddly,
surgery.
Oddly attractive.
She's kind of...
Surgically
kinda,
hot.
She's kind of hot, yeah. Surgically,
surgically hot.
Spends like, a lot of time on the eyebrows. That's a...
Yeah.
You know, it's always a warning. You know, Tammy Piscatelli talks about that. Like, you know, how crazy a woman is you know... Is direct link to how thin their eyebrows are. You know, if you spend a lot of time,
that is funny. Yeah.
That's
funny.
That's very accurate. Look at this woman's eyebrows; they're crazy.
They're true.
You could imagine.
So
it.
She's crazy.
Yeah, she's hot for an 80. How hot for dating an 81-year-old? I guess.
I mean, I would.
Who would do that?
I would have hit it before Donald Sterling. Now it's just like, but she's kind of like doing black people justice. So I feel like I have to hit it. You know,
but
and videotape
she,
it.
Wonder, yes,
you know
well,
what I mean?
She, wonder she,
like, hit it and videotape it and then send it to Donald Sterling with one of those, like, saw voices.
Yeah.
Like, I just broke off your woman. Like, you know what I mean?
And then Donald's like, well, because you don't post it on the Instagram.
Right? Okay. Post the trailer on Instagram wearing a Black Panther hat the whole time.
What?
Sex tape?
Yeah. I would do it.
What the fuck did she see in about a guy? God.
Money.
Yeah, I guess money, what am I saying? He has a billion reasons.
Right? Whatever. Yeah, magic Johnson
didn't he buy her several cars and stuff?
Yeah. Well, yeah, is he, his wife... Is he divorced from that woman? They said his wife, they kept saying he has to be divorced.
I don't know.
I don't know if they're divorced or she's just loves the money.
Cause they, yeah, why would the wife hang out?
There's a lot of women like that.
I
they
guess
just,
they're just on the payroll.
They don't got no jobs. They're like, hey, look, why would I fuck all this up? Do what you got to do. I'm just going to get my nails done and buy Coach purses. Or Louis Vuitton, rather. I'm sorry.
Just got to block that asshole out when he talks. That's it.
Exactly. And just make your money, raise your kids, have fun with your
He's
children.
He's so old. Did I fuck you? Yes. Really? Okay. He wouldn't remember.
81.
He doesn't know.
Yeah.
81.
Can he sell his wife the team for $1?
I think there was talk of that, actually. Huh. He could sell it to the family. Or they're talking about that.
Then he can have a puppet regime of his own, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're going to let him do that, though. I don't know.
I will be the secret society slave master.
He has this, as of this taping, the Pens are still in the playoffs playing the Rangers. And I got to talk to a very funny comedian who has a great podcast on our network called Puck Off, and Joe Bartnick. You guys know Joe, right?
Yeah.
Really
yeah,
funny
no,
comic.
Funny guy.
Great guy. He's a Pittsburgh guy, originally from Pittsburgh.
Yeah, he's funny, yeah.
Moved to Los Angeles, and he tours all over the country. I ran into Joe and I hung out when he came to Pittsburgh a couple weeks ago. With Craig Gass, by the way, who is hysterically funny also. Craig Gass, one of the nicest guys you could ever meet, too. And they asked me to do a guest set down at the Rex with those guys, which was the weirdest thing happened. Josh came with me. I went down there. And we get there. I was going to do a guest set the second show.
Mm-hmm.
And we go up in their green room of the Rex, their room upstairs. And these three guys come walking in, and they're holding a woman who's out cold. And as they're walking by, it looks like she's dead. And they go, she's been roofied. You know, we're like, holy shit, Slade's been roofied.
What kind of a show am I
and,
at?
was the opening act.
Yeah, she was.
The girl was the opening
I know
act.
Her.
So the funniest line, Joe has the funniest line. They bring her, you knew it, right? You knew the opening act.
Yeah.
So they bring her by. I mean, they head back, like, the whole thing, she's out. Thank God, she's all right, I heard. But anyway, so they bring her, roofied out over, and they lay her on a sofa or something, and I don't know if they called the hospital or whatever happened, but Joe was quiet, and Joe goes, do I have to do another 10 minutes? But anyway, he started laughing. But anyway, yeah, she's all right. But anyway, I got to hang with Joe. We had a few beers at the Green Tree Inn, and I got a tape of that. We were talking a lot about Pittsburgh. We talked about hockey. We talked about he growing up here in the 90s, and we talked about the old Penguins in the 90s, the Lemieux era, and Tom Barrasso, what great characters they were. And this is our conversation. Although this is not an interview, by the way, this is not my Charlie Rose moment. We were just literally having beers and burgers at the Green Tree Inn, and just put the iPhone down, and it just recorded us just bullshitting. This is Joe Bartnick and I bullshitting here and having a good time at the Green Tree Inn. He's such a great guy. I said, real funny. This is right where we were talking about Tom Barrasso, who was quite a character here in Pittsburgh. Here's myself and Joe Bartnick at the Green Tree Inn.
Oh,
yeah?
Yeah. That's how I heard it growing, remember?
Was that
one of the strippers attacked him with the scissors?
Oh, is that where it was?
Yeah.
There were so many rumors on that one.
Yeah, something
I had heard
like that.
It was at Froggies. I heard it was...
I think it was one of the girls from Fantasies. It was definitely one of the girls from Fantasies
that got the
involved in that sort of thing.
It was involved a scissor attack.
Okay. Yeah, it was definitely either she was a waitress there or the one of the strippers. Definitely had some connection to that scene.
And the scissors went. Yeah, there was a fight at Froggy set, and maybe there was a separate scene with him.
Was the fight at Froggy Tag Linetti? Tags.
Maybe it was. I don't. Yeah, I just remember Tom's name's always coming up. Hell of a goalie though.
Right? I never had a problem with him, but he seems to not have people just don't like him.
He just wasn't personable.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Bad man. You know what I mean? It's like, was that it? I mean, like, literally, like, a lot
I think
of people
those guys, yeah, some of those guys just aren't good communicators in the press or whatever,
It's weird how the press just will attack. Like you're old school. Like one of my, you know, I'd say other than Stargell, my favorite all-time pirate is Dave Parker. And people hated him.
Cobra.
Remember the Cobra? Yeah, the Cobra.
You know what he used to call him, a Cobra?
Yeah. Well, he used to wind up
his dick.
Oh.
That was what the rumor. The word was that Bob Prince or something saw him in a shower in a locker room walking through. Bob Prince said, "Holy fuck, is that a Cobra?" And then everyone was saying, "Yeah," but everyone thought, "Oh yeah, it's because he does this was bad," or you know,
yeah.
He throws. There's like the ball snaps like I don't know whatever. Everyone had a different Cobra.
Yeah,
that was the rumor that Prince saw. What the fuck is that a Cobra? You know,
that's great.
That's what I heard.
What was like his last year here? Like 85 when he knew he was out the door because the fans hate him. Right. We almost made the playoffs. We lost out by like two games. He hit like 350 like the last half of the season.
He had amazing
and it was years. But like his last year when people were like down on him, it's like he was amazing. People, he batted fifth. People were shitting on him. It was like,
he was the guy.
They weren't ready for even in the 80s, Pittsburgh, they weren't ready for like a black superstar like that. Like people hated his money. Like they hated the fact he made that money.
That was the bizarre cocaine years, right?
Remember the pirate
big scandal, the parrot and all the players. Oh my god!
Did you ever see that? They did a special about that.
Yeah,
but it was a great pizzeria down there on De Carlos down on 51. That's good pizza.
I knew the parrot.
I knew that guy.
Everybody knew that guy.
Yeah.
You mentioned, as soon as you say a story in Pittsburgh, I don't care where you are in Pittsburgh. Yeah, the parrot. And everybody always, I knew that guy. I knew the parrot, of course.
That's like Bill Burr talks about, because my dad has, I was too young, but my dad has him too, about Marino.
Oh, God.
Like everyone has Dan Marino story. Everybody.
Go through anywhere in Pittsburgh, mention his name, and within 5 minutes, within 5 minutes you'll hear, "Oh, yeah, I carried Dan Marino out of Zelda's one night." It was always out of Zelda's, and they always carried him out, man. I carried him out. And then they wait a minute, and they go, "That's why he didn't get drafted number one." See, Don Shula didn't care. He didn't care.
Yeah, like there's no cocaine in Miami.
Well, that's what's so funny.
In that era, in the 80s.
Yeah, like he went to Miami, like the craziest place to go.
That would have been the one that
I went to Miami for 4 months.
That rumor would have been true.
Yeah, when we left. Well, that's when we went to Florida. We went to Miami.
Yeah, that's a Pittsburgh thing, though. You got to go to Miami for a while. That's the first place we want to get out of.
Yeah.
Just for a month. You go back, you go for 3 months, you come back.
Yeah, like, it ain't for me.
You're like, get out of there. Holy shit.
We stayed at the Art Deco section. It was South Beach. Before we South Beach, called the Art Deco section.
Yeah.
We didn't even know it was topless. Our first day on the beach, we're like, oh, my God. naked women. It was the greatest thing ever. It was empty. It was like, it was kind of a dump.
Yeah,
because it was before Madonna went down there and banged her when it made it hit.
Then all of a sudden you go through the summer, it's 100 degrees, and insects are as big as fucking pigeons and stuff.
They're Palmetto bodies. Oh, they're like,
Palmetto, man. You could ride these things. They're fucking so big.
Oh, my mom, we almost never went back to Myrtle Beach. Like, first time we met
your first Palmetto experience?
Yeah. Oh, I was in the closet. Gotcha. My mother had I don't know what, I don't know what happened. It was like shining. My mother was went crazy. Like, my dad had to, "What's going on?" Oh, no. Killed it. And then just like, left.
You can't.
Like drove home that night, like all the way back home. Just like, "I'm not staying here."
First Palmetto I saw was in Miami, and I almost couldn't kill it. It was so big. It was a fight. I injured it. It went away and it hid, and I was afraid it was going to come out like Jason with a little knife and a mask on and kill me in the middle of the night, man. It's like, where is he? I don't know where he went.
You bowed down before you hit it. Like,
yes.
You want to fight?
Damn.
They're huge. They're never seen one. They're huge.
It'll cure you. You come right back to Pittsburgh. That's just it. You go to these places like, you know, go to Miami, go to Phoenix, all these nice places. They're great. Don't get me wrong, they're beautiful. But you go there and then they're like nine insects that can kill you. Like, you know, we don't have it in Pittsburgh. You know?
Oh, yeah. They're in your shoes. You leave your shoes out. Yeah. You crawl in your shoes.
What's your average scorpions? This and your what? What the hell's going on? Can they kill you? Yeah.
The climate's great here, actually.
I like change of seasons. I don't mind it.
Well, I don't mind,
when it changes, it's been so freaking cold.
I know. I'm a little bit, I don't mind the cold. I'm tired of the snow.
Oh, it's killing me. Could you move back to Pittsburgh? Could you ever move back here?
I'll tell you what I think about it. For the schools, for my kid and being near my her grandparents and how much I love the Penguins and just like guys like you and just it's Pittsburgh. I tell you what, people drive too slow here for me now. I'm behind people. I'm just like, oh my God, I can run faster than you're going on 88. Like I can run.
You're used to the six lanes in LA. Yeah, I'm just used to people
driving faster in my carport.
Yeah.
Just people killing people.
It's a different vibe.
Yeah, people just driving faster. No, but literally, it's like, and I hate. It's like that's. I said before we recorded, I hate driving. That's why I stayed in San Francisco.
Really?
Yeah, I don't like driving.
So you don't have to drive a lot in San Francisco. Could you get around?
I would park my car for a month on end in San Francisco.
Really?
Yes.
So you were able to get around like that?
Yes. Okay. I mean, I never didn't live in the city.
Okay.
Like, I mean, like inner city. I mean, so it's an inner city. Right. I mean, it wasn't like a ghetto, but I mean, like I never lived past like a 10-minute bus ride downtown.
To anywhere. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you can
get I could walk from downtown to my place in like an hour if I had to, even up over the big hills, no matter. I lived on Hate Street between Pipe Dreams and Hate Mail. I lived in the Mission next to the famous Santana poster or mural. I lived everywhere in that city because, you know, once a year, some of the really don't want to kick you out, so you gotta move around.
My buddy Kenny Oldansky in the Strip. Okay, there weren't a lot of, you know, big neighborhood, but as I was growing up, it still was a neighborhood, some row houses, and Kenny and Robert Oldansky lived above the peanut store on 16th Street. Still there, that little peanut candy store.
Oh, yeah.
They lived there. And Kenny had never been on East Pittsburgh through and through. Never been out of the city. Idea of vacation was, you know, juggling. That was because he meets a girl who works at the Gap in North Hills, Ross Park Mall. Kenny goes, he talks like this. I met this girl. She's really hot, man. I think she's into me. You know, now Kenny would say that about every guy. Oh yeah, she's into you, Ken. You won't tell me she's fucking into me. I'm like, all right. A month goes by. I get a call out of nowhere. Can't get me. I'm at Chili's in North Hills. You're never going to believe he's in a boutique wing. That girl from the Gap. Really? I'm going to go over and talk to her. I said, go get her. Good. He goes over and talks to her. I can't believe this. A month goes by. He'd been dating her, right? And we knew he'd been dating her. I get a call. Hey, I'm moving to San Francisco. I'm like, what? He goes, I'm moving to San Francisco. Because this girl's going to, she got a promotion from the Gap store. I guess the headquarters, or one of the headquarters, right. Anyways, in San Fran. So he goes and follows her out. A year goes by. They break up. He stays. Kenny's still there. He's been here for like 12 years now. Never left, 12, 15 years, yeah. And the funniest thing is, I go out and visit him every once in a while. That's why I love this. I do like this. Right. It's a nice city. And this girl, Bae, she can't speak any, she barely speaks English. She's from Thailand. She speaks Thai. She's a little Thai restaurant, a little 12-seater in Sausalito. Think of okay. Sausalito?
Yeah. The name of the town? Sausalito, yeah, right across the bay.
Yes, right across the bay. It's a cool little restaurant. It's really tremendous food in it. She barely, but anyway, we go out there to hang out. And it's the most amazing thing in the world to have Kenny and Bae talk. Because Kenny speaks no Thai, she speaks very little English, and they come and communicate. And you'll hear, you know, me and Richie and Tommy and, you know, Robert, we all want all the guys from the neighborhood across San Francisco. To give you a line of how kind of cultured we are, who we are, we went out there and watched a DVD of Larry the Cable Guy, Health Inspector, or whatever the hell it is. Richie has it. That's all we did was drink, laugh, and watch that about 20 times. That was our San Francisco experience. But we went out a little bit. And one of the things we do is go to her restaurant. You know, she's feeding us every day. It's incredible food. And Kenny on the phone would be,
hey, babe. We meet up 4:30. 4:30, babe. Okay, 4:30. 4:30, babe.
He's just like repeating it over and over, and then all of a sudden we remember this. She'd smile, give us the food. Well, anyway, Kenny seems good, so he calls me one Sunday.
Hey, Jimmy.
Yeah, Kenny.
You ever do Viagra?
I said, no. I said, I haven't, you know, need it, but yeah, it's pretty cool here.
I got to tell you, I took one. Your dick's like an 18-year-old.
Like, really?
It's unbelievable. He said, but I got a little problem.
I go, what?
Well, Sunday is the day Bay come over. She comes over every Sunday. I mean, it's our day to get her. She's busy at the restaurant. I'm like, cool. So what's the problem? She goes, well, I didn't want to tell her about my anger. She said, whoa, what you do? She's like, what different? And Kenny goes, I just was making stew on a bed pot of soup. I said, oh, eat the soup. It's a soup, eh? It's herbs in there. Herb. He's telling her. So he said, I said, what's the problem? He goes, every day she's calling, saying, hey, Kenny, you gonna make soup? That's good. But we I get out every once in a while, San Fran. You get back to San Fran?
Yeah, I go. I play. There's two clubs, Cobbs and the Punch, and now they're both owned by Live Nation. They used to be the big competitors. I play probably 3 weeks a year.
There's a Punch in L.A. too, right?
There's one in Sacramento.
That's okay, Sacramento.
And I do that one too. But as fate would have it, my buddy Jack Murray, who used to... He slept on my couch. Slept on my porch in Arizona.
Yeah,
he was a waiter in my well. I was bartending there when I messed up my leg in basketball. He followed us to San Francisco or came, and he became a real estate mogul.
Really?
And now
like mogul.
Money mogul. So Damn. Now he has a mansion in North Beach.
Wow, that's cool.
two blocks from Coit Tower.
Wow.
And so I can walk to the Punchline and walk to Cobb's and do my set. So it's like living in a – it's like the best thing.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
And
he's still single and he just loves it. And he's one of these guys that, you know, he's like our age. So, you know, he doesn't have too many guys that can just hang out and do everything all the time. So he loves having me show up and drink his booze. And it's just the best. So
that's fun.
Yeah, I have a great time. Thank you, Jimmy.
Oh man, Green Tree M. Good Green Tree in the plug.
The best burger in town.
Nice burger at a burger beer.
Great waitress.
Sipping some coffee now. I said, did the beer to you know slow me up, and the coffee wake me back up. So I go home. My wife, what'd you do? I had a little coffee lunch, you know.
Yeah,
a little
meeting.
A little meeting with Josh. A meeting. That's the better line. That's better.
Yeah, a little meeting.
We had a meeting. Yeah.
That's what my wife always sees on my night when she does my taxes. Like she plugs them in. Hey, I had a $79 meeting.
Where shots?
At Ted's Bar.
Shots at me.
I always rip up the. I never keep
it. Oh, don't keep the tequila stuff?
Oh, I don't keep it when it says you had. Yeah. No, I make it like, oh, you had four guys. We all had lunch. I don't make it like, no, it was just me and some guy. We had like
five pitchers. Yeah, we drank five pitchers and three shots each.
Yeah, no, I make sure that's lost to the.
But you know, our wives know too when we say that.
Well, I'm going to try and hide it from my wife. I just don't want the IRS.
Yeah, they know. You know, the wives like, you had a meeting.
Yeah, well, your wife, she knows what she got into.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I always say the people who marry comics, they're saints.
They are.
They're saints.
They have to put up with a lot.
Exactly. Yeah, they put up. They
we're
put up
broken.
A, yeah,
they're the women who are trying to fix this. I think, right?
Yeah, my wife's trying to fix.
Yeah, I'm a lifetime project.
She'd be happy I didn't finish all my fries.
Yes. What's your wife's name? What first name?
Tracy.
Tracy. Joe did good.
Thank you.
Listen to this. Joe did fantastic, man. We both had tofu and. We had, Josh had his annual regular veggie burger, right?
Yeah. And side salad, very
side salad,
pleasing side salad.
Broccoli for dessert we had.
Yes.
So there you go. Hetty, it's funny, my wife, it's like she's so healthy. And has this ever happened to you? I'm faithful. That's one thing. I got the faithful thing down.
Right.
But it feels like you're cheating whenever I have a McDonald's bag in the car. What's this?
Yes.
You know, it reminds me of lipstick on the collar. It's worth, lipstick on the collar, nothing. The McDonald's bag in the car is freaking the worst thing.
Oh, yeah. My wife.
Like, what's this?
My wife would much rather me eat a strip club than like an In-N-Out.
Yes. I'm the same way, Joe.
Exactly. She's like, I'd rather you cheat on me with a woman. Then come back 10 pounds heavier.
Yes, then have that damn McDonald's bag. What was this?
She's on me about my cholesterol is 420.
So hey, yeah. Nice. You got me beat slightly.
Oh, really? Yeah, yeah. So
it's my trick. Lipitor, best. It's good stuff.
Okay,
it brought me down to 160.
I got to take it.
I'm not eating healthy.
I got to force my doctor because he at first was like, you got to do it healthy. You're too young to be on that. And so I tried so hard. Ellie's got down to like 385.
You know, you got to tell everybody like I do. It's genetic.
Just thyroid.
Cholesterol. Genetic. I can't help it.
It's a curse.
Yeah. What are you going to do? I got to carry my burden.
Yes.
I went from like 340 to 160 on Lipitor.
Wow.
Yeah. I recommend it.
I got to be on my guy because people are starting to get worried now. It's like, oh, you really got it.
Oh, we just had a bacon burger. I'll go home, take my Lipitor. I'm good. Good to go.
How many a day do you got to take?
Every hour.
You have an IV.
I just crushed it up and put it in my food.
Yeah. You're breaking lines of Lipitor.
Yeah. Just lines of it. You just take one a day, you're good. You're good.
Is that it?
Okay. Yeah, it's easy.
Because I feel like I take one for like my heartburn every morning. I need that thing.
Have you done a colonoscopy yet?
Yeah. I mean, like a couple years ago.
Something about an Oprah. As soon as you determine over 40, and then when you hit 50, it's all over. Maybe really zero in on the colonoscopy.
Yeah.
I haven't done it. I've been avoiding it.
Well, you now that's something you got to do, bro.
I know. See, that's what they said. It's just like you said, Joe. No. Like, no, man. No, you really got to do
it. Yeah, because I did mine at like 48. I mean, I'm sorry, 38.
Yeah.
I'm going to go again because I always keep an Asian doctor. They have small hands.
That's a good idea. I'm writing it down.
Yeah. No, seriously. Find a little Asian lady.
Oh, and little hands.
Yeah, little hands.
That's a great idea. That's a great. Well, I've avoided this. I think we all wait till I'm 70. I made it this
I
long.
Love you. I know what I love
thank
you.
Thank you so much. I hope you guys have a really nice day.
Thank you so much. I love you too much, Jimmy. Like, seriously. You got it.
It's a big one to do.
We're a little one. You got to find an Asian lady. It doesn't have to be.
I want a little Asian lady. I want a little Asian lady who owns a little Asian hose with camera. That's what I want. The colonoscopy, the prostate exam. I know. Yeah, I have to get the finger. Yeah.
Oh, I thought. Oh, that too. Oh, you're talking about a camera.
Yes.
No, I've never done a camera.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Yeah. See.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah. I've done the finger.
Oh.
Thing
well. Oh. Okay.
Year.
I was just. I'm only mandating the finger. I'm not going to ask you for a camera, Jimmy.
No. Okay, Joe. Yeah. I've done
I'm
the
not
finger.
A family member.
Oh, I thought you. I thought you went all the way to camera.
No, I'm not. I've never. Know. No one's Kodak moment yet.
See, they want me to do the camera up there. Which I keep fighting. But I have to do it eventually.
Like, sure.
They say you have to get a picture of that.
Yeah, it's for your wall, for your headshot.
Well.
For the next Steeler cruise.
6 minutes. Yeah. Here's my 6 minute video of my exam.
Hey, people get set. I liked it.
Oh, God.
Good closer.
Yeah, I avoided it in my last physical, too, somehow, the camera.
Well, not to
I
be.
Don't know how I got out of
that. I mean, not to be. But. Can they tell with the finger if you need the camera or no? It's a different.
No, well, they could tell that the finger's a good one, you
but
know.
not the end all.
I mean, not for me, it wasn't good, but it was good. Good test.
Yeah.
There's the thing, the PSA blood test, which I have to do that again soon.
Okay.
That's just like the regular. They could tell usually from that one's a big one. The PSA test, the big one, the blood test.
Okay. Well, I've had those every.
That's
year.
A big one, and then the finger's a big one. But the camera, I think they go in and they can really see.
Well, they
it's Christmas morning in mine.
Yes, they
in there.
If they have a problem after the camera, where do you go? I mean,
you're done. So the camera, after camera, you're good. I somehow avoided the camera for the last few. I did an executive physical at this place called the Green Rack. I know, really.
That's a sport coat or a CEO.
Yeah, that's where the CEO comes in, frauds me. No, but. I put a tie on the work guy. I give him the briefcase.
A butler.
And they do the physical. Yeah, and they fire some people and they walk out. No, but I did the executive physical and I don't know how I avoided that. I wrote on there, I don't know how I wrote on the card. It was this thing at the Greenbrier. You pay part of your medical pays part and then you pay part. And you stay there for 2 days and they do everything. They head to toe. And somehow I didn't have time for the colonoscopy. I don't know how I did this, but I somehow wrote down I didn't have time for the colonoscopy. How that would happen in 2 days I'm there, I don't know, but somehow I was able to avoid it. But
I like the sound of it, except
you
for
like
the ass play.
Well, I got to wait. I know, but
gambling and golf. Gambling. You do have to.
You do got to do, yeah, a little. I mean, I did get out of the colonoscopy,
yeah.
But you do have to do the finger.
That. In your insurance,
which wasn't
for
good.
The,
part
the,
of it.
Okay.
Part of it. Just part, yeah.
Yeah, I don't, pay, I don't, I don't pay, think my, I don't think my insurance is that good. You have to, like, you must have really good insurance. I have the kind of insurance when they're like, you know, you're really sick. Like, you got stripped through you the pills, but I think that's pretty bad.
You're
we're not helping you now.
We're not helping you now.
Yeah.
My insurance will, like so bad. Do fundraisers on there for you. The place to get fundraisers.
Right.
No, it's. It's one of those things. We got to take care of health. 400. You got to get the cholesterol med. You got to get the Lipitor, man.
I'm gonna do it. I know because Anthony Bourdain does it too. So
he does Lipitor.
That's what he says. Yeah.
Jesus, he's my idol.
He says it on the show. I know. It's funny. The people that like you and me, like we have the easiest lives on earth. That's the only guy with a better life.
I know. I look at Bourdain and go, "That's the guy."
Yeah. He can play all day. He doesn't have to do sets at night. He's just traveling and eating.
He literally has to eat, sleep, and shit. And that's it.
Yeah.
And we watch it. Yeah. Every once in a while, he has to eat like a pig ball or something. Thailand. But that's not bad.
No, he goes to the good places. He goes to the good places. There's other guys that like go.
Yeah, that Zimmer guy. He's bugs.
Everything worse than that.
Oh, really? You know, yak vomit.
But he gets to drink and get wasted on you know, he's like drunk half the time on that show.
I had this dream, and I still dream it can come true. And I invited him once. We were on the radio. We did an interview. I said, I want to show him inside Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh would do well on his traveling.
It would.
I think we could show him some really interesting places.
Yeah.
And food, you know, that he would really be, I think he'd be impressed with the food here.
Exactly. Pittsburgh. And just the stuff to do.
And
it's a very, he'd have a lot to write about. You know how he likes to write about, you know, oh, I came here thinking it'd be this, but it's this.
He can introduce some colorful people, great places.
Yeah.
I like to take Bourdain around. That's my dream.
I think he'd be great at it.
I got to do it.
So that was Joe Bartnick and I at the Green Tree Inn. Appreciate Joe stopping by and letting us record that. And, you know, it's always great to see him. Really funny guy. Check out his show. If you're a hockey fan at all, you just want to have a few laughs, too. Check out Joe Bartnick on Puck Off. It's on the Sideshow Network, or check the internet, see where he's at. If he's in your city, definitely check out Joe Bartnick in concert. He's a really funny comic. So
knows his stuff about hockey.
What's that, Mikey?
He knows his stuff about
he
hockey.
He knows it. Yeah, he does. He knows his hockey stuff. and loves our Penguins as he's a Pittsburgher through and through. So, hey, this is Jim Crane, No Restrictions. Thanks a lot for listening.